The Word of God from the book of Revelation, in the 12th chapter, where we read a little more about Satan. Chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. At Daleville Christian Church, we want to proclaim what it is we believe, and this proclamation from the letter to the Colossians in the first chapter, 9th verse following. God our Savior wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. We determined to talk this season before Easter about hell. During this sermon series, I do not intend to consign anyone to hell. At least I don't intend to do that. If you're hoping that I line people up and separate them to the left and right, I am not going to do that. That's our Lord's job, not mine. I'm often asked the question, based on actual people and events, is that person going to hell? My first response always is, that's the Lord's job. Again, words are important here. I don't think that Jesus assigned or consigned people to hell, and Jesus talked about hell more than anyone else in the entire New Testament. Jesus asked questions. Jesus issued warnings. I'm also going to ask questions. I'm going to ask you questions. Jesus is calling us all to think about what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say anything unimportant. So we are going to focus on what Jesus wanted us to know. We're going to focus on what Jesus wanted us to think about. Having said that, there's another important point. To just start talking about hell is to come in, it's as if you're coming in on the middle of a movie. To just start talking about hell is to come into the movie theater a good 45 minutes late, maybe a whole hour late. So before we can start talking about hell, we want to bring all of us up to speed. Here at Daleville Christian Church, here in the messages, we have been trying to bring folks up to speed. To just start talking about hell, you would have missed a lot of the plot line. So here are some things in the plot that we've already seen. We mentioned the last couple of weeks that hell was not made for you. Hell was not made for you and me. Hell wasn't made for people to live there. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, not for you. The strange thing is that some people are going to go to hell, and we're going to figure out why that is so. At least we're going to try and figure that out. It's especially strange that people are going to go to hell since Jesus came to release people from Satan. And there are two Bible verses that say that God has a plan to save us. That actually is God's plan to save us. And so if we start talking about hell, and that's about 45 minutes into the movie starts then in the garden called Eden, where God was close to the humans. And all the fruit of the garden was available to the humans there. All the fruit of all the trees and all the plants and all the shrubs was available to the humans, except for the fruit of one tree. God even told the humans that they eat that fruit of the one true tree, they would die. You find all this in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. We pondered last time exactly why would the humans decide to eat the one fruit of that one tree that they were clearly told by the Lord God not to eat. And why would they eat of that fruit of that one tree when the stakes were so high? Death? Wow, there just isn't much leeway in that. So why would the humans choose death? And I assume, and this part isn't in the book or the movie, this is just me, I assume that the humans did not get up one morning and say to themselves, "Today is a good day to die." Right? I mean, something happened between that morning and that evening. That morning, the humans are living in paradise. That evening, the humans are homeless, wearing itchy clothing, and feeling terrible about everything. What happened? Well, the humans made a decision. You might say they made several decisions. Satan told the humans that what God said wasn't true. And instead of taking their time to make a decision, or instead of checking back with God on what Satan said, or instead of simply ignoring what Satan said, or simply not listening to what Satan said, the humans decided to eat the one fruit that the Lord God had told the humans they could not eat, that they were not to eat. Well, that changed everything, see? Because once the humans ate that fruit, the humans weren't trustworthy. And God had to wonder if the humans would believe him again, or God would wonder if they would believe him anymore. The humans didn't see themselves quite the same way after that either. As a matter of fact, the whole world looked different to them after they ate the fruit. So they couldn't live in the garden anymore. We probably want to think about that statement a little bit. They couldn't live in the garden anymore. The humans couldn't live in the garden anymore, not just because the Lord God tossed them out. They couldn't live in the garden without destroying it. The humans would have wrecked the whole garden. They couldn't live there anymore because they weren't fit to live there anymore. Now realize, if you live somewhere really nice, you have certain responsibilities, right? Well, in the garden, the humans were living someplace really, really nice. But they weren't going to take the responsibility to live there. They couldn't even be responsible to stay away from the fruit tree they were supposed to leave alone. So they couldn't live there. Now here's the thing. The humans had wrecked God's plan to live close to the humans in the garden. But God wasn't going to let the humans go. God loved the humans too much to let the humans go. The humans' disobedience to God wasn't going to be the last word. God wanted the last word, and God would have the last word. So even though the humans had to be moved out, the Lord God tried to stay in touch with the humans. God even sent messengers to the humans. And you know where the story goes from there. Eventually, God himself goes to where the humans live to get them back. God himself goes to where the humans live to get them back. Would you be interested to know how many times the word return occurs in God's word? But just in the books of the prophets of God alone, the word or words return to the Lord occur about 100 times. The humans left their relationship with the Lord God, and the Lord God is calling them to come back. Return to the Lord. Message after message. And since it's in the Bible, we could say text after text. Get it? God's texting us. Well, God is calling the humans to come back to him. Return to the Lord. It seems really important that one of Jesus' major stories that he tells is about a father with two sons, and the father wants both of his sons back, and yes, both sons have gone missing, not just the one who left the country, We'll talk about that sometime. Both sons have gone missing, and the father waits for their return. And when they do return, there's a big party. One son won't even go to the party, and the father comes out to talk to that son. Return, return, return. And Jesus said, that is what God is like. So while we're on that story of Jesus's, remember what the younger son does? He gets his inheritance, leaves home, leaves the family business, leaves the town, and leaves the country. This boy really did not want to live there anymore. We don't know why. Jesus, in his wisdom, doesn't tell us the boy's motivations. But for whatever reason, one morning the son was there at his family business, and the next day he's gone. We don't know the humans in the garden's motivations either. One morning they were in the garden, by evening they were gone. You don't have to know a lot about the Bible to know that for the human beings who live in the garden, as well as for the younger son in Jesus' story, after they leave the presence of the Father, things don't go well for them. And that, my friends, that is a spiritual truth. After the humans leave the presence of the Father, things do not go well for them. That isn't punishment, as we understand punishment. It's a spiritual fact. Leave the presence of the Father, things go downhill. And as you might have suspected, people have been leaving the presence of the Father ever since the first humans. Jesus can even tell a story about it thousands of years later, and it was just as true then as it is today, 2,000 years after Jesus. People want to leave the presence of the Father, the Heavenly Father, and when they do, things don't go well for them. It isn't punishment as we know it. It's just the way the world works. What's that old song say? Cause and effect. Chain of events. All the chaos makes perfect sense. When we're spinning round, things come undone. Welcome to Earth, third rock from the sun. When people walk away from the Lord, stuff falls apart. And I will emphasize, that's our decision. There are choices that we seem to have, right? People choose to live apart from God. And let me just finish the thought. There's one place where anyone can get away from God, and that's hell. There's one place where anyone can get away from God, and that's hell. A place where God does not make his presence known. I can give you examples. What I think are examples of people creating their own hell. People's choices result in a kind of hell. Now, if I give you real earthly examples, I can't say that those people are in hell, but the situations they create are hellish. Many a soldier has testified that combat is hellish, and I believe those soldiers. Combat is hellish, but hell is even worse, if such a thing can be imagined. There was a hellish example just a couple of weeks ago. Now again, hear my words. Hell isn't on earth. Hell is a real place, but hell is not on earth. However, we can create hellish situations for ourselves. Hear this. We can create hellish situations for ourselves. And here is a hellish situation that was in the media just a few weeks ago. I don't think I can explain it any better than to simply read you the news report. March 3rd, 2014, Greenwood teacher arrested for child seduction. A Greenwood community school teacher was arrested over the weekend on preliminary charges of child seduction. The school corporation says Tim Guilfoy, age 36, was arrested in Marion County on Saturday on two preliminary charges of child seduction. Guilfoy resigned his position with the school district on Sunday. He had been employed with the district since the year 2000. The Indianapolis Metro Police Department says their officers were called to the 8800 block of South Madison Avenue on Saturday to check out a suspicious vehicle. They found a silver 2010 GMC truck in a parking spot, but the windows were too dark for the officers to see inside. The officers asked the driver to roll down the window. When he did, the officer reported that the driver, identified as Guilfoy, was naked and sitting next to an underage female. When asked what they were doing, Guilfoy told the officer they were having sex. He also told officers he was a teacher at Greenwood High School and that the young woman inside the truck was one of his students. Around Greenwood High School Monday, Guilfoy's arrest and rapid resignation was met with disbelief. Very surprised, taken aback by it, a very personable guy. Never saw anything out of the ordinary with him, said Kevin Dixon, the father of children in the district. First instinct was for his family, thinking about his wife, said Dixon. I know Mrs. Guilfoy, the principal. Guilfoy's wife is a principal in a different school. Mrs. Guilfoy is a very nice woman, and they have two young girls, and I felt more for them. Concerned, obviously, for the young woman involved with it, Dixon continued. He knew Tim Guilfoy as a coach on the football and golf teams. Greenwood Community School officials say they will cooperate fully with the investigation. And I thought a couple of responses to the story were worth noticing. Responses included a response from parents, especially a father who has a daughter the same age in the same school. He was very angry and even threatening. From a mother and a grandmother, I would first and foremost like to say how very sick this story makes me. So this man, Mr. Guilfoy, has created a hellish situation for himself, his family, his victim, his school, his community, and anyone else who reads the story. Now, as I said earlier, I'm not going to judge anyone about heaven and hell. That's not my call. But I can say that on March 3rd, 2014, Mr. Guilfoy appeared as if he wanted to live as far away from God as he could get. And God apparently didn't exercise any options to stop Mr. Guilfoy in his flight from God. God apparently gives us all the option to run in the opposite direction. But still, this doesn't have to be the end of the story. Mr. Guilfoy's actions are not the final word on his relationship with the Lord. The Lord still seeks Mr. Guilfoy. But if the man doesn't want to live with the Heavenly Father, you can be sure the man will not be forced to live with the Heavenly Father. If someone doesn't want to live with the Heavenly Father, they will live in hell. There are only two choices that I know of. Our Lord only wants one of those choices for you, living with Him forever. But the Lord is not going to make you live with Him if you don't want to. So who is going to hell? Well, anyone who wants to go. Who's going to go to hell? Anyone who wants to go. Yes, anyone who wants to go to hell will go there. Now, if you think that no one wants to go to hell, you just don't know very many people. And that's the truth. There is one other person we haven't talked much about yet, and that is Satan. We don't have time today to talk a lot about Satan, but Satan didn't want to live with God either. And therefore, a place was made for Satan, a place was made for the devil and his angels. That is hell. And anyone who wants to go to hell will live there. God's love for us is so great that even though the humans didn't want to live with God anymore in the garden, that God still wants us to live with Him. Satan frustrated God's original plan. Satan helped get the humans to disobey God and follow their own desires. And that seems to still be pretty much Satan's plan. Anything to keep us from our relationship with the Lord God. The apostle put it this way, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. The ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And that is the truth. The Lord God wants us to live with Him forever. But people don't believe it, or they don't want to believe it. And people spend their entire lives doing something, doing anything that doesn't include God. People spend their entire lives doing something or doing anything that doesn't include God. But it makes perfect sense when you think about it, doesn't it? If we don't want a relationship with the Lord God, then why would we want to live with Him forever? If we don't want a relationship with the Lord God, why would we want to live with Him forever? But know this, the Lord God wants you to have a relationship with Him that lasts forever. And the Heavenly Father sent His Son to say that the Heavenly Father wants you to have a relationship with you forever. That the Heavenly Father wants you to have a relationship with Him forever. Jesus came saying, "Come to me, all. Come to me, all." You know, we think God, so often we think God wants something from us. No. God wants something for us. So often we think God wants something from you. No, God wants something for you. God wants you to live with God forever. Jesus came saying, "Follow me." Jesus came saying, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that you might not perish, but have eternal life." Be with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Follow Jesus. This was Jesus' first invitation to the disciples. Follow me. Jesus' first call to His disciples. Follow. Follow me. Hell isn't for you. Amen.